Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy. Until we talk again later on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, news this hour is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 66 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy moving to stop funding for the mRNA vaccine, which was instrumental in the fight against COVID during the pandemic. ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Tara Narula says a lot of health experts are concerned.
They say, look, mRNA vaccines are safe. They can be produced rapidly. They have saved millions of lives. And we are using them to do research on things like HIV and cancer and RSV and CMV and all kinds of other viruses, even the flu virus. So that this is going to leave us very vulnerable. This is potentially a dangerous decision, according to many health experts.
Texas Republicans still trying to force Texas Democrats to return to the state to vote on new congressional maps that were drawn up after President Trump said he wanted five more GOP seats from Texas in next fall's midterms. Vice President J.D. Vance preparing to host a top administration officials this evening for what's being called a strategy session on how to best deal with the Jeffrey Epstein files. This is ABC News. President Trump is threatening to remove local control over the District of Columbia following the beating of a young man who helped lead the DOGE effort.
A D.C. police report says the incident happened Sunday morning around 3 a.m. Officers said they saw a group of about 10 teens surrounding a vehicle, assaulting a man who said he was protecting his girlfriend. As police approached, the young assailants took off on foot. Two were arrested. The victim was identified as 19-year-old Edward Korestein, who was a top DOGE staffer when the effort was led by Elon Musk. President Trump posted a picture of the bloodied man as he vowed to take federal control of the city if D.C. doesn't, quote, get its act together and quickly.
That's ABC National Correspondent Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Hiroshima is today marking 80 years since the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on the city, killing about 140,000 people. One 94-year-old survivor says he wants to continue sharing his story as long as he can, because soon there will be nobody left to pass on what a sad and painful experience it was. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Peridot is the birthstone for August. Pamela's has a large selection of all types of Peridot jewelry. Stop by, save 20% the whole month for your favorite Peridot piece of jewelry at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The Phoenix Center has made lunch easy and delicious. Now open Monday through Saturday starting at 11 a.m. They serve a full menu with a strong focus on lunch favorites. Think burger, salad, wrap, sandwiches, and signature appetizers. While they're closed on Sundays, the rest of the week offers a convenient way to break up the day. Whether it's a quick bite or dinner with the family, the Phoenix Center delivers even to go. Call 649-7469 for carryout, and don't miss their famous pizza, a local favorite in Richland Center.
It's your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. You don't need 20% down to get into your dream home.
Today, a high of 83 will be partly cloudy, warm, and a bit muggy with southeast winds at 5 to 13 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower toward morning and a low of 65. Thursday, partly to mostly cloudy and muggy, a 50% chance of scattered showers and a high of 84. Thursday night, scattered showers ending and a low of 67. Friday, partly cloudy, hot and humid, a high of 91.
Searching for affordable, reliable housing? Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin is here to help you find a safe and stable place, whether you're renting, buying, or somewhere in between. They connect individuals and families with quality housing options that fit their budget and lifestyle. Because everyone deserves a place to feel at home. Call 608-647-4949 or visit us online to start your housing journey today.
A&W. Try the Double Barbecue Bacon Crunch Burger. Back for a limited time only. Two juicy all-beef patties topped with melted American cheese, smoky bacon, tangy barbecue sauce, and crispy fried onions. It's a steakhouse burger without the steakhouse price. A&W. Try the new Island Cream Freeze for a limited time only. Refreshing starry lemon-lime soda meets tropical flavors of passion fruit, orange, and guava, and creamy vanilla soft serve in a cool, sweet treat that's like a summer vacation for your taste buds. And then some.
Frosty mugs, crispy fries, and hometown flavor. A&W on Highway 61 in Boscobel, where the good times and root beer never stop. The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust.
On our morning show today, we're going to talk about a block party in downtown Richland Center that's going on next weekend, Saturday, August 16th. And in the studio today, the organizer, Gene Noble, will also talk to Jay Hoffman as well about this because it includes some great music, it sounds like. So, Gene, if you want to swing that microphone over there a little bit closer to you, we'll ask you a little bit about this. Where did this idea come from?
Well, I just wanted to do something little to promote business downtown, and it ended up getting a lot bigger than I expected. I just wanted a little thing in one little parking spot was my goal, and it ended up growing to a whole block. So I talked to area businesses, and a lot of them thought it would be fun, too, to do it, to see what we could do downtown because it's slow. And so, I don't know, just kept going. It's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing, and been fun.
It kind of blossomed from there then, it sounds like.
It did. It grew almost too big. People looked at me and goes, are you crazy for doing this? But,
It's kind of a throwback to the old time, you know, when you'd put off the block and you'd have a street dance or whatever.
Used to do crazy days downtown when I was younger, and that was always so much fun to just walk around and see everything, and it's kind of what I'm going for. We've got vendors and crafters coming in, and it should be a lot of fun.
Tell me about the business support that you've had from that area.
I've had great support from Edward Jones, The Little Corner, Bailey's Paint, The Creative Outlet, and then also I couldn't have done a lot of this without Katie Schmidt. She helped me do a lot of graphics and stuff to post things online because I'm not real great with that. So she helped me do a lot of graphics, so that was amazing.
You've got a great response from the music world as well. Is that what you envisioned initially, is to have some live music there?
I wanted some sort of music, and I wasn't quite sure, so I guess I was asking the right questions, because then I got pointed towards Jay Hoffman and said, well, he could help you out. He's a musician, and talked to Jay, and then it went boom. In a day, he had the whole works ready for me. I'm like, oh, okay.
We'll bring Jay into the conversation. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. Good to see you again.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other for a long time.
Not face to face.
We used to speak all the time when there were school delays and things like
that. Yes, like about 5 o'clock in the morning. You were the only person awake that I knew on this world at that time.
It's still kind of like that, right?
Good to see you again, yes.
So, and I didn't know this side of you, that you've got a little music in your background, and it's still something that you love and enjoy.
Yeah, I kind of kept that in my back pocket for my whole career. I was out to Vark, of course, for 17 years and got to know a few people in town here. But yeah, I always played a little bit of music, and since I've retired, That's what I do full time.
So when Gene came to you with this idea, it sounds like you didn't have to look very hard and long to find people to help you out.
Well, no. Yeah, she'd asked me about doing some music, and of course I asked the questions, you know, what a normal musician would ask, you know, how long am I playing, where is the setup, you know, what is the event? And then as she was explaining it to me, I thought, well, it's a six-hour event. I'm good for a couple. But I have a group of musicians that I work with on a regular basis. We all play with each other. We write music together. Some are live around here. Some are over by Viroqua, and then one from Spring Green. And I just made a couple of phone calls. And being the troopers they are, made my part of it real easy.
So you're going to have a little stage set up there on Court Street?
Well, we're going to have a pop-up tent and a little padded area there, carpeted area with a sound system, and in the center of the action, I believe.
That's what I'm open for.
And we've got, just some great folks coming. I got Dylan Harris. You'll see his name associated with music just about everywhere in this area. Tracy Mangold, Elise Becker. Don Greenwood from Spring Green, and then myself will be kind of emceeing and doing the follow up.
Will there be a jam session?
It happens. It happens. Yeah, with the few of us that are there. Yeah, we've all played with each other on different things. But this is highlighting each one of the singer songwriters in their own. But if we decide we're all going, oh, I like that song, we'll all play.
Wonderful. Gene, yeah. There's a dunk tank as well. Tell us about that.
I heard you volunteered for
me?
That.
No.
Yeah. That's why I'm here.
Doctor's orders, probably not.
But yeah, we're doing a dunk tank. The proceeds from the dunk tank, and then we're going to do like a pick a duck kind of thing out of a pool, and there'll be another game that I personally am putting on. All those proceeds from that are going to Richland Area Rescue. So I've got like 4 spots left I need to fill for the dunk tank. So if anybody wants to volunteer their services, you know, I won't say no. But Stetson Clary from the Gymboree, he's going to be on there. Matt Williams, he's going to do it with me. And Lisa Peterson, Tyler Colson, Spencer Brudenhagen, Jenna Miller, and Heather Miller are all going to be doing it. So come get these people wet. It'll be fun to see him hit the water.
Why Richland Area Rescue? Is that one of your pet projects?
I love animals, and I know they do a lot of horse rescues, and I love horses. But I know it takes a lot to take care of an animal, especially if you bring them in and they're already injured or malnourished, and there's just a lot that goes into it. Care, personally, and then finances get to be really expensive. Just as a pet owner, they can be expensive. So I thought, for this time around, I'm going to do Richland Area Rescue. If I decide to do something like this again, we'll pick a different program to promote.
Mm-hmm. You say poolside block party. Is there a pool? Is
there
a pool?
We're going to have a little pool.
Oh!
It's a little wading pool. And so there'll be like little pick-a-duck things in there you can do. And at all these games, except the dunk tank, you do the dunk tank, you get a towel. But all the other games, I've got prizes for people, you know, kids, adults, whoever. And one of the prizes is a squirt gun. So then you can use the pool to fill the squirt gun, and, you know, it'll be fun.
It sounds like it's going to be just a really nice family event, isn't it?
I'm hoping. People come out and enjoy it and see what downtown has to offer and all the great talent we have in this town. I grew up around Richland Center. I live in Viola now, but there's so many great crafters and people in this town that they kind of need to be showcased once in a while.
Oh, you work at Creative Outlet?
Yep, I volunteer there.
Volunteer there.
2 days a week. And so I know a lot of the crafters and stuff, and they always are going, what can we do? What can we do? And I'm like, okay, let's give this a try and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's nice because a lot of those businesses are open on Saturday, so it's going to be nice.
I'm hoping that, you know, they will stay open on Saturday till we're done with the thing, because starts at 11 and goes to 5. So got lots of time to come out and check things out. And every half hour, there'll be a new person on the dunk tank. So come check it out, because you never know who you might find up there. I'm pushing this dunk tank because I wanted this so bad.
People should bring their lawn chairs too, right?
Oh, yes.
And yes. Walking shoes.
And walking shoes?
Yeah, so they can stroll around and see what everything Richland Center has to offer.
Oh, and then, too, also shout out to TKO. They're going to have their food truck up there for me so that there'll be food. Plus, it helps promote their bar as well. And he's going to have brisket tacos, and he's going to have pulled pork sandwiches and smoked macaroni and cheese and baked beans. So it's going to be a good little bit of food.
Well, that's good. Coming up on Saturday, August 16th, maybe we get a chance to spin one of your songs here from Dylan Harris.
Harris is going to be there. He's going to be starting things out earlier in the day.
Okay.
And he's just released a brand new album. That was just probably released a couple of months ago. And there's a song on there, I think it's the third one on there, called Matter of Time. It happens to be one that I wrote and he recorded, so you're getting a little two for one here. Before we go into that, there is a contingency plan for weather. A lot of times when there's an event like this outside, if there's bad weather, everybody thinks, oh, that's it, it's done, you know. But the Church of Nazarene,
the Outreach Center here in Richland Center.
Okay, sure.
They will, all the musical talent will go there to perform. So that happens regardless of the weather.
Okay. You got a pretty good chance in August that you're going to have good weather.
I'm hoping.
Yes, you do. Yes. Well, we'll take a break and come back. We'll play that song from Dylan, and then we'll have more about the block party.
Awesome.
All righty. We'll take a break and come back. More about the block party Saturday, August 16th, when the morning show continues.
Family Prescription Center. Your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary, just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must. And Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Matter. just a little grin. It's a matter of trying, get up and try it again.
That is Dylan Harris on the morning show from WRCO, and a song written by the fellow just across the table from me here. And that has to be a real honor, Jay Hoffman, when somebody covers one of your songs, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes my heart feel so big it doesn't fit. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
Dylan will be one of those at the block party on Saturday, August 16th. You play quite a lot in this area, don't you, Jay?
I do, a little bit. Yeah, I've been in, had the luck and honor to play at over at the German Warehouse, the AD Warehouse, a couple of times. I think it's 1921 German Warehouse. So I've been over there a couple of times. And then during the week, you might find me out to Schmidt Woodland Hills or Pine Valley. And that's my typical week. You know, and I do that in a few of the other communities around here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nothing like live music. And the music and the musicians in the area, it doesn't seem like it's a real competitive thing. It seems like you're all family and you're in it together, aren't you?
Well, you know, like anything, there's people rooting for you and there's people rooting against you. And we had that discussion earlier about any event, but the musicians that I know in this area work for you. You know, they really do, and work with each other. And it's a unique family. You've had a lot of them on the air here that I could go through names, but I don't need to. But yeah, there's just a real community of almost family. Musicians, and we're just rooting for each other all the way. And it makes it really fun to organize events where there's going to be multiple musicians, because you'll see that chemistry.
Will there be a lineup, like a schedule of
events?
There
is a schedule, and it's going to be Dylan Harris is going to be starting it out, and Tracy Mangold, she's a singer-songwriter in the Viroqua area, and Elise Becker. She used to go by the name of Elise Nicole. So if you know her by Elise Nicole, it's now Elise Becker. And they might be doing some things together. So that's going to be real dynamic. And then I've got Don Greenwood coming out of Spring Green. He's kind of a staple in this area with the music. And then myself. And then, like I said, throughout the day, we'll probably be playing with each other and joining each other. And if there's kids around, we're all capable of doing a couple of kids' songs, too, if we have that population hanging close to us. So it, every one of these performers are fun, a variety of music, and with some real good spirit. So it should be a lot of fun.
Gene, I know that your pet project, Richland Area Rescue, they may even have some animals there, I understand.
Yes, I have been told that they're going to have some little puppies there. Some Shih Tzu dogs, possibly Raymond the pony. And if he comes, there'll be little carrots for people to feed him. But yeah, they're, that way people can see what pets there are they can adopt. And yeah, it should be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. A lot of barking, a lot of noise. It'll be fun.
Maybe you can feed the musicians carrots, too. You know,
they might get hungry.
I'm all in. I played at a farmer's market yesterday. I had carrots in my tip jar.
Did you really? That's a great tip, really. Yeah. It is. It's just going to be so much fun. And I hope, Gene, that it's the first annual. That, you know, this is something you can do each year.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, I've had fun. Yeah, there's been some things thrown in my way, but it's taken me out of my comfort zone, and it's really helped me grow as a person to do this and to see needs of the community and things I can do to help.
And I know that just from personal experience being downtown, there are a lot of tourists, a lot of people from outside the area stopping by, and they'll stumble upon it and probably think you do it each weekend, won't they?
That's not happening. But no, and then we're going to have painting going on, too, for kids adults who want their faces painted.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
We'll have an ice cream truck there as well. So there'll be ice cream for you to get all messy with.
Great. Anything else you want to add about the event?
No, just I hope everybody comes out, has a good time, and enjoys themselves.
Me too. Jay?
Well, the animals that are going to be there, these are going to be rescue animals, I'm told. Then you can meet and greet them and see how you guys get along and maybe go home with a puppy, you know?
Every kid's dream.
That's right.
And every parent's nightmare with me. I want that one.
I promise to feed it.
But it is a nice thing to expose them to these animals and you know, talk about that. Plant that seed that maybe they'll adopt an animal someday.
So. They all need homes.
They do. So we just hope a lot of people will show up. 11 until 5. It's next Saturday, August 16th. We're kind of getting the word out now, and it's going to be vendors, and the shops are going to be open, it sounds like.
As many of them as I can get to be open will be open, and I've got an array of talented people bringing stuff in. I'm going to have beaded jewelry, embroidered stuff, Color Street nails are going to be there, so you can see different colored nails you could get by yourself to put on. Just lots of fun things.
Anything else you want to add today, Jay?
Nope. Just look forward to see everybody out there. It's always fun to see smiling, familiar faces and people I don't know that become friends. Well, and the music, I have had a wise friend of mine mention to me that every great event has great music. And we'll just leave it with that.
Sure.
So come on out.
Nothing like the summertime and music in the air.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's going to be great. So we salute you both for stepping up and doing this. I think it's going to be a great first annual. So great. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Phil.
Gene Noble and Jay Hoffman in this portion of the morning show. Come one, come all to the Poolside Block Party next Saturday, August 16th from 11 until 5. It's going to be on Court Street right in downtown Richland Center.
If you're looking for a workplace that truly cares about you and your future, at Rockwell Automation in Richland Center, it's more than just a job. It's a career with purpose. At Rockwell, people come first. You'll find competitive pay, great benefits, and real opportunities to grow in a positive, team-driven environment where your work truly matters. From supporting innovation on the job to volunteering in the community, Rockwell is proud to stand behind its employees and give back to Richland Center every step of the way. Whether you're starting your career or looking for a fresh start, Rockwell Automation is a great place to work and a great neighbor to have. Now hiring in Richland Center. Simply visit rockwellautomation.com to learn more and apply today.
In honor of Breastfeeding Awareness Month, the lactation consultants and registered nurses at the Richland Hospital and Clinics shares advice for success. Start early and feed frequently. Begin within the first hour after birth, if possible. Expect newborns to nurse 8 to 12 times a day. Take care of yourself. Stay hydrated. Eat nourishing foods. Rest when you can. This is a physically and emotionally demanding time. Your well-being matters too.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we're talking with one of the four GRACE ambassadors. Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination has chosen some stellar ambassadors in the past, and this year, no exception. Seth Paulson joins us for a radio visit today. Seth, thanks for agreeing to do this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you on here on the radio today. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Seth Paulson. I'm actually originally from the Dane County area, from Stoughton. Actually, that's kind of how I was able to meet my wife, Angie Brewer, originally, but now Paulson, of course. That's where I met my wife, Angie. And I think our initial plan was to kind of stay in Stoughton. And at the time I was working for the Wisconsin Historical Society. I was there for about like 9 years. I was the graphic designer. That's what I went to school for right after college. But our original plan was to kind of stay in the Stoughton area. But then I think I think we were ready to kind of come back to the Richland Center area. And because I've been to small towns around Stoughton and whatnot, but this one was definitely for me it felt like a small town vibe. But then every time I would talk about locals around that live around Richland Center, I'd be like, oh yeah, I mean, Richland Center is like kind of one of the bigger towns around here. It's like you don't know what a small town is. So for me, it was just kind of like a different experience. But like, yeah, I've grown accustomed to it. And
and your parents live in the area too, don't they?
They did, yeah. You know, honestly, all right. I didn't force them. You know, they decided to follow suit. My sister actually and her husband, they live in Janesville. Before we all moved here to Richland Center, yeah, we were all in Stoughton. They moved there in 1996. I think that was kind of the summer/fall of 96. They were almost there for a good 30 years. And then I think it was kind of time. I think they were kind of like low-key, kind of looking for a retirement home. And they decided to kind of, I think my dad kind of had a soft spot for Richland Center because he actually grew up, went to school here. So he would have been a roadrunner.
To the college?
Or the college here, yeah. Oh, college here in Richland Center, yeah.
Great.
He went here for a few years, but I think because of that, he's always had a soft spot. When they had actually, like, taken out, like, you know, when they were kind of starting to clear out from the campus, you know, from, like, display cases and everything, he was part of, like, you know, just kind of older photos, probably from, like, the 70s and whatnot. I think he was a manager for the basketball team.
Uh-huh.
I forget exactly what year, but you'd have to ask him. I think for him, just coming back to Richland Center, I think, just because of his brief stint here, and I think just, yeah. So, for yeah, but anyways, yeah, they seem to really like it here, and but yeah, for me, it's kind of like a natural fit, you know. But yeah, it's a nice place.
Your cancer journey, Seth, began when you were very young, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Interesting enough, so I actually was diagnosed at the age of 18. So this was just right after I'd finished high school, see, that would have been, so technically the diagnosis started in, I was diagnosed in November 2006. But basically kind of how it worked out was, I was probably in my, it would have been my first semester in college. So I was going to Massoneri Technical College. I think they now call it Masson College. Now I think they rebranded a while back ago. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it was in my first like it was one of my classes, or so what was it? But yeah, anyways, that's kind of like around the time frame that it was happening. But anyways, it was November of 2006. I was with one of my friends at the time, my best friends at the time, and we were big like pro wrestling fans at the time, and I still kind of am a little bit. But to kind of paint a picture here, like, you know, we were big pro wrestling fans. We loved going to concerts. We pretty much did everything together at the time, you know, since we were like best friends. And, you know, he was like, you know, it was like one of my better friends, you know, especially growing up, you know, in high school. And that was really important, you know, as a high school, you know, mm-hmm. person. I remember, yeah, it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of a blizzard-y day, so to speak. We were playing like one of the pro wrestling games that just came out, and we had a copy, I think, at the round, because we were like big advocates. We were like playing the PS2, the PlayStation 2 at the time. Mm-hmm. And one of the new systems that came out was like the PlayStation Portable. So it would have been called the PSP. We decided to kind of get an extra copy, or we had to get the system of the PSP of the same game, because that was like in our heads, that was kind of the logic to like unlock more characters or whatever. So anyways, that was kind of the reason why for us to kind of go to Walmart in the first place on the east side of Madison. And we get there, we're able to kind of get everything that we wanted to get. And then as we're kind of, you know, heading backwards, we're on Stoughton Road, kind of heading back towards Stoughton. And all of a sudden I just kind of get this weird pain in my chest. And for a little bit, I just kind of brushed it off a little bit. But over time, I probably really couldn't, to the fact where I'm like, hey, can you drop me off at the UW Health? It was like an old location just right off of 151. It's no longer there. But yeah, that's where he had me dropped off. And I don't think I was able to see my primary care physician at the time. I forget her name. It was probably on. He dropped me off there, and he stayed there as long as he could until, you know, the doctor came back to the waiting room and said, hey, you know, thanks for dropping him off. You know, he's in good hands. He can go home now. I wouldn't worry about it. But yeah, they did test, and I remember, they had me do, I think it might have been an x-ray, and they saw this like weird black cloud around my heart. Kind of like a heart or kind of like the chest area. And so they were really kind of like worried that I was probably going to have like a heart attack or potentially have a heart attack. And I've never had any diagnosis before that, considering like, you know, how young I was. I'm like, I'm too young to have a heart attack. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because of that, they had sent a ambulance over from Stoughton Hospital, and from there, they came over. My mom was over at the clinic, and then my parents were there too. The ambulance came over, swung by, picked me up, and I think by that time, I think the ride, you know, in a sense, like, I guess maybe kind of leading into it, like, you know, they had me on a stretcher and everything, but that was the first and only time I've ever been in an ambulance. But when they had put me in the ambulance, I think that was kind of like when it was, the snow was really falling down. It was like, I think it was probably like one of our first blizzards of the year that night. And I think the one thing I specifically remember though is like, yeah, it was, you know, scary. It was, you know, I guess every emotion that you can possibly think of, but I think it was mostly kind of the uncertainty because you just don't know. But I think that's kind of weirdly like where I felt like I felt a sense of calmness because I think I was able to calm down. I think part of it is because the crew that was kind of sitting with me in the back of the ambulance and they were just kind of talking like we were old friends. So they definitely made the ride for me a lot more comfortable and was able to kind of get me to slow down a little bit and just not focus on, you know, what it was or what it is, you know? They transported me to the main UW Health Clinic. Forget the name of the road, but it's the big main clinic, in Madison. And when they dropped me off, I remember waiting in the waiting room for about roughly anywhere from like 30 minutes to an hour. It wasn't that long. And they got me in, did more tests. And then I remember this was the first time that I had looked at my heart through on screen. I forget the name of the whole contraption and everything, but that was the first time I got to see my heart on screen. I thought that was pretty obscure, but at the same time, it was pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
So did a few more tests after that, and I remember just kind of waiting for, you know, the next like 20 to 30 minutes or so after that, just, you know, just laying on the bed, you know, and then I was there with my parents were there. My sister was there. Just all my whole direct family was there just kind of there to keep me comfort and support. And, again, there was, you know, still a little bit of uncertainty in my head kind of circling around, but, they came back and they just said, hey, you know, we found, kind of a, you know, that black cloud, you know, that kind of showed up on the x-rays, but, nothing really came conclusive. And so they just felt like, you know, every the other test that they had done was absolutely fine. So they ended up sending me home. And after that, I think it was the next day, it was either the next day or the day after, my mom had called me, and I didn't think much of it. When you see, you know, your contact, you know, pull up on your phone and you just kind of answer the phone. I think obviously the big sign of this was a kind of a different type of phone call was when she broke down, you know, when she answered. I'm like, hey, you know, hey mom, how you doing? And then she was, you know, she was kind of talking and crying at the same time, and that's when I knew. I'm like, okay, is everything okay? It's like, well, your doctor called me, and you know, they said it's cancer. And I guess growing through high school, I would have been 18, so I'd have been after senior, but like, you know, even when I graduate after high school, you're still kind of like, you know, kind of that sometimes that high school mentality, you know, sometimes it never really leaves you. And, you know, I've seen it, you know, for numerous people, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, but at the same time, you know, you're kind of like that, almost kind of like that kid / high school student at heart, so to speak. And for me, like, it was important just to, you know, be who I was and just enjoy the simple things in life. And that's kind of how I've always been. But to kind of, and so I didn't really know like the technical stuff in terms of like, it's like, I knew I was always healthy. It never crossed my mind to ever think like, oh wow, you know, maybe at the age of 18, you're going to get diagnosed with cancer. And for me, of course, you know, when she, you know, delivered that news, you know, I was just, you know, I cried too, because the only thing that I knew personally about cancer was that that people just die from it. That's all I knew. I didn't know that it was curable. I didn't know anything else. I just assumed that, like, the word cancer and that's it. And I was like, really? That's it for me? Like, I'm only 18. Like, I feel like I got so much more to live and so much more to offer, because, you know, my plans were, and I think, again, I was still like probably like in my first, I was taking four classes in my first year of at Madison College when I was studying graphic design. that was probably the one thing kind of leading into the next, you know, part of the story is, I would say that's the one thing that really kind of got me through the whole experience of going through cancer in the first place was keeping my mind busy. So, and then also too, you know, this is kind of me a little bit opening up too, and is that you know, growing up, you know, I was diagnosed with ADHD, and even to this day, I probably still have ADHD, but it's probably more. Sometimes I feel like it's ADD because I feel like maybe like my body isn't as like hyperactive as it maybe as it once was, but it's another, you know, it's another you know, form of hyperactiveness and whatnot. But I had that, and then I was diagnosed with Asperger's disease, or not disease, I'm sorry, Asperger's, but they don't call it that anymore. It's high functioning autism, or like I believe it's level one autism. So I'm high functioning. I can, you know, maintain contact, you know, eye contact with people, but sometimes I'll kind of look at their ear or whatever. But
pretty common.
But I remember, like, kind of, I feel like I'm kind of going off in like in a totally different tangent, but that's just kind of who I was, you know, in terms of like, you know, just keeping my mind busy, always staying active, even to this day, that's who I am, to kind of, you know, keep active and not have that subtle chance for me to kind of like I do, like, you know, love to kind of have like my downtime and whatnot, but like sometimes, like, I always need to be doing something, just need to stay active. And it was the same thing, you know, for, you know, going through cancer is like, I think it would have definitely been worse for me if I didn't have a whole lot to do, but because I had an amazing support system with my direct family, along with my family, the rest of my family lived in Wisconsin. And I also had a family that, that still to this day, you know, are from Minnesota and they live in Minnesota. But yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, what type of cancer were you diagnosed with then, Seth?
So we didn't actually find out, and I think it was probably a couple days later, if I remember correctly. It was I always like to tell a story before kind of, you know, actually kind of revealing and everything. But I remember we went to the cancer, I think it was like the cancer center in at the UW Health. And that was kind of I think it was like a couple of days later, or either a day or two days later after, but it was really quick because they wanted to meet with me very fast to make sure that the cancer hadn't spread. So I remember, you know, we were in the waiting room, and that was kind of the first time that I got to meet some of the cancer team, along with my primary doctor, who would actually kind of serve as the primary doctor. And that was Dr. Brad Call. I remember my aunt, Andrea, or Andy, as we like to call her, she came down from Minnesota and was there with us too. And then I remember, I believe, some of my family from Madison, my aunt Kathy and Uncle John were there. My parents, of course, John and Cindy, and my sister, Brittany, was there as well. But yeah, we're all in the waiting room. And then when we went into the actual room, you know, with Dr. Brad Call, that's kind of when he just laid it all on the line for us and kind of went through the, you know, the next steps and everything. But the diagnosis was B-cell large diffuse lymphoma. It was non-Hodgkin's, which is a form of blood cancer. So every time I kind of tell someone, it's like, oh, can I cancer that? Okay, well, you get a pen and paper. yeah, so that's kind of what it was. And, I believe, I want to say I went through, it was between 8 to 10 rounds. I'm sure I probably wrote in the paper, maybe it was 10 rounds, but I always kind of forget if it's either 8 or 10, but, it's roughly 8 to 10 rounds each of chemotherapy and radiation.
So when the phone call came in that, Grace was asking you to be an ambassador, did you have to think long and hard about it, or what made you decide?
Seth? Oh yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Wow. I really get off track all the time, but, yeah. So before we even joined Walk with Grace, we actually joined the American Cancer Society. And I didn't really think about even, like, you know, join in terms of, like, kind of like, I guess, kind of joining the fight or this crusade in the battle against cancer. I mean, it was just like one of those things, like, I felt like I was vocal about it, you know, and I was comfortable about telling my story. And honestly, kind of going through cancer definitely made me more, kind of brought out my extrovertism, you know. And I think the only time I was really ever was an extrovert was probably with my friends in high school. Because, you know, just like probably a lot of people, you know, they have their own social circles and everything. And that's when you're the most comfortable is with, around your friends. But mostly, you know, when I was outside of that group, I was mostly an introvert. But, you know, cancer in general definitely brought out that extroversion in me. But I don't think it was probably until I had actually met my wife when I was actually when I came back to Stoughton. I was actually kind of I was kind of trying to understand, like, you know, where my career was going to head. You know, because I graduated from Madison Area Technical College, you know, in their graph design program. I graduated in 2010, and I was just kind of doing odd jobs and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And one of my first jobs was I was working in the newspaper, and that was kind of my first chance, you know, to kind of work with deadlines and everything. So I was kind of a journeyman, you know, kind of trying to figure out this new, like, I definitely kind of liked working in newspapers. I worked in there was a newspaper in Rockford, Illinois, I did, and then they ended up actually moving down to, I think they were going down to Austin, Texas. I remember that because I remember everyone saying, like, oh yeah, Austin's going to be just like Madison, except just hotter. Still going to be the Midwest, essentially. Anyways, I turned that down and then finding a newspaper job in, Owatonna, Minnesota. I was there for 4 months. Things didn't work out, and ended up finding another newspaper job in St. Joe, Michigan. And I was kind of a journeyman and eventually came back, and that's kind of how I wound back up in Stoughton, because I was only there for 2 weeks, but I'm so glad I was there for 2 weeks only, just because of, like, St. Joseph is a beautiful area in Michigan. It's been a few years since I've last been there, but when I came back from that, I had an opportunity to kind of do this part-time job. It was through a staffing agency, and that's kind of how I got my graphic design role at the Wisconsin Historical Society. A lot of the folks that when I did work there are, of course, a lot of them are gone. Some of them are still there, which is awesome. That's kind of eventually how I wound back up in Stoughton. So I was living with my parents for a few months at that time, and I think it was probably, I didn't meet my wife, it was actually probably a few weeks before my birthday. Actually my birthday was just a couple days ago.
Wow, happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. That's kind of actually when I was able to meet my wife through, I guess, family, or I should say friends and acquaintances. I remember, you know, just kind of growing up in high school with, they were actually about a year or two behind me. But I remember just kind of going to their place. We'd always have bonfires and everything. And then where she was living. It was kind of a separate story without telling that story, but that's kind of how she kind of got into the fold, because she eventually, she wound up in Stoughton, because she had a job in Madison. I think she was working for UW Health at the time. That's kind of how I got to meet my wife. But because of her, it wasn't until about a year or so later, after we were dating, that was when, you know, I had told her my story about how I'm a cancer survivor and everything that I had to go through. And she told me, it's like, oh, have you ever thought about maybe like volunteering? And, you know, I was working a full-time job. I felt like, and that was my first full true career job, you know, with the Wisconsin Historical Society as a graphic designer. And I just kind of felt like, well, maybe, you know, and then maybe I can do some freelance work. But for me, like, I felt like that was like, I'm busy enough, you know, and then like any other spare time, I'll just be hanging out with friends. We'll, you know, go out and do whatever. But she's like, yeah, have you ever done volunteer work? I'm like, yeah, I've done volunteer work before in the past, you know, for the local churches and everything. But I never really thought about, you know, joining in terms of like fundraising or donating or just, you know, in general, just telling my story or, you know, fighting the good fight in terms of against cancer. And so because of her, that was kind of the reason why we had joined the American Cancer Society. So we had did that for at least 2 to 3 years, I believe. And then I remember we, even though we were still living in Stoughton, that I remember that was kind of like our first year with Walk with Grace, because we knew that it was kind of like a smaller nonprofit, if you will. So, you know, we, every time, you know, we would actually help, or, you know, even though we had a team with Walk with Grace, you know, we would still make the drive up from Stoughton, which is roughly about an hour and a half to get to Richland Center.
Well, with 14 years behind you, you know, as a cancer survivor, you know, things are positive. I presume you still have to go for yearly checks and things like that.
I haven't had, all right. So, well, yes, I do have, you know, my yearly checks and everything, not necessarily with, not with the cancer support team or anything like that, but, you know, just to make sure that I'm just a full, you know, healthy dude, you know, living his days. Yeah, I haven't actually seen any of the cancer crew in a long time. It's probably been at least 10 years, if not more. Well, let's see. Probably around that time, roughly. I think the only thing I really ever do is go into, you know, my, you know, just to make sure that, you know, I have good blood pressure, and I guess maybe my, you know, maybe my cholesterol is a little high, but.
Your yearly thing.
Otherwise, it's my yearly thing, but
But, so. But think about how life changed for you at 18, you know, and you're a different person now as a result, I'm sure, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, it's interesting. Again, I sometimes I have to put myself in that mindset, you know, because I remember, you know, when I was 18, I was in, I was mostly in cross country. I was doing cross country and all that stuff. But like, at that time, I think I just, before that diagnosis, I just really didn't necessarily have a care in the world, you know, so to speak. You know, I was, it was me, high school, my social circle of friends and sports, and I also played hockey, but I remember it was mostly club hockey. I played actually for McFarland. Fun little story. We actually made state for the club. I think they called it Teeners. That was like the highest level before you could actually, then you'd be trying out for varsity essentially. I did that for like about 3 years in high school, and then backed out of that and managing the boys varsity basketball team with my good friend to this day, Josh Gredebeck. He was also the best man at at our wedding back in 2018. I think, you know, with that diagnosis, you know, I think it was definitely wasn't on my bingo card for sure. But the whole experience though, I feel like, oddly, and you know, maybe it is the same for others, you know, I think everyone's story is a lot different, but it just made me oddly a better person. You know, it kind of showed me, like, and I think part of it was probably because it felt like, oh man, life can be shorter than what you make it out to be, and you just have to, you know, cherish every single moment and every single minute, you know. And even to this day, like, you know, I'll have my bad days, and you know, I've been depressed before too, you know, especially, you know, kind of, you know, with the current climate of certain things, and sometimes also, you know, cause I'm technically kind of unemployed right now. So I'm still kind of, you know, I'm in the search for jobs right now. But, at the same time, I'm also busy with my wife's business too. At the same time, she has a candle business, which is actually our team name. Before that, we just kind of went as the TIE Fighters. I believe my sister-in-law, Sarah, I believe she was the one that came up with the original name. And then I think it just kind of made sense to kind of transition the team name to my wife's business name, which was Angela Rose Studios LLC. And it kind of leads into the next segue, is basically for the second year in a row, we're promoting our personalized cancer awareness candles and how it works. There's various information
that you can do, but basically how it works is you can just choose your cancer ribbon, a color, and then any color ribbon is available, not just the ones shown in the photos that we feature on our website. And then you just choose the message, so in honor of, and that's for cancer survivors. There's I'm fighting for, which is for those currently battling cancer. And the third one is in memory of, for those who have passed away from cancer. And then we have like looks like about 10 options, or actually, 10 options. So like 9 various scents that you can choose from, or the 10th option is just unscented. And then we have like a little black or a little white box where you can actually write your name to customize it. So we can write it in for you, or you can write it for yourself, depending on how personalized you want or how comfortable you are with your writing or whatever. So, you can just order online. It's actually kind of a big URL address, but it's angelarosestudios.com/products/personalized-cancer-awareness-candle. And personalized cancer awareness candle has a hyphen in between those words, so I know it's kind of a lot to take in. But honestly, I think probably the easiest way would probably just go to angelarosestudios.com, and then if you go under, I believe it's under the collections category, and then there will be a Walk with Grace section. It'll just kind of lay it out for you there. So,
wonderful. Yeah.
So I guess that was my little plug in terms of our joint adventure. And then it was actually last Saturday, we also had our brat stand, and we had a really good turnout.